My name is Ben. My last name is Pukis. A lot of people around me have started to call me Pukis, so you can call me whatever you want. I have just joined staff here on the church, so I am in the fellowship program with a bunch of other people. And with the fellowship program, we can be on staff with one ministry. And I'm up here, so you guessed it, I'm with Wake. So I've been able to jump on with Harrison. I've been able to jump on with Sean and Rebe and Lindsay and Garrison and Thomas and Ethan. And it's just been a ton of fun. And the thing that's really awesome about being here and being with junior high kids is that it reminds me of me when I was a junior high kid. I mean, I remember myself. I remember the things that I used to like, which are kind of weird. I mean, I am a weird guy, but those things were really weird. It reminds me of the girls I had crushes on when I was in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. It reminded me of the things that really worried me and I thought were the end of the world. And now that I look at them, I'm like, that's really not that big of a deal. But most importantly, it reminds me of who I was when I was in junior high. And so, and especially in high school too. And if you guys, the cool thing about being here, from Tampa, Florida, I just moved here 2 months ago. So not a single person in this room knew me when I was in high school and when I was in junior high. Cause if you knew me when I was in high school, I don't think a lot of you would be listening to me the way you are right now. I was a jerk in high school. I was that typical jock guy. So that was high school. But in junior high, I was very small. I didn't really start growing till I was in 10th grade. My voice never really changed until I was in 10th grade either. I would answer the phone, our home phone. If you guys don't know what a home phone is, come see us. We can show you pictures of what that looks like. But I would answer the home phone and everybody would think I was my mom. My mom's name was Susan. I'd say hello and they go, Susan. And I'm like, no, it's Ben. Literally, I'm a guy, not a girl. And so I was just extraordinarily insecure when I was in junior high. And just, I remember this big pivotal moment when I was in the 7th grade. As a 7th grader, I was able to travel with the varsity soccer team, which was something that no other 7th grader has ever been able to do, and it was an awesome experience. But with traveling with juniors and seniors, I was also extraordinarily insecure because they were these guys, but I looked up to these guys. And so we're on an away trip back from a huge big game against our rival. We won 2-1. We're all celebrating on the bus. I'm in the front with all the other freshmen and sophomores, and the juniors and seniors are in the back of the bus, and they always had this drama fest going on. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the back of the bus so I can be a part of all of this. So I go to the back of the bus and they're talking about their girlfriends. You know, they're 17 and 18 years old. So they're like the coolest of cool. And so I'm back there in the bus, and this guy who's the best player on our soccer team was talking about his girlfriend. And his girlfriend, they've been dating for about a year and a half. And quickly I realized that he's not saying very nice things about his girlfriend. Comes to find out that he just broke up with her, and he starts talking about all the guys that she cheated on him with. And they were like, oh, and the guy's like, man, we got your back. This is ridiculous. And that, you know how it works. We got your back. And they started to figure out what they wanted to do. And quickly it went into, hey, we should prank call her on the bus. And somehow, some way, they look at the 7th grader and they say, hey, Ben, you should prank call her. I'm thinking, okay. And they're like, you're the last person they would think that would do this. And I was like, I don't really want to do it. And they go, oh, a 7th grader, of course he doesn't want to do it. He's not cool enough. And I look at him, I said, give me the phone. So I said, hold me back. And so I end up, and so if you don't know this, you can do something called Star 67. I don't recommend doing this, but you can do Star 67 and they don't know who it is. So call this girl. I thought I gave it to her, hang up the phone, and they're like, that's not good enough. You need to be way worse. You need to be mean. And they're telling me to say things that I've never said before, things that I've only heard in movies. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'll say those things. Second time I call her, I was a big giant jerk to her. And she kind of laughed it off. I'm like, call her again. Call her again, did the same thing. We called her about 15 times because after the third time, she kept ignoring our calls. We kept calling and calling and calling and calling and calling. Finally, she picks up, but it's not a she, it's a he. And somebody goes, oh, I bet that's the guy that she's with now. Like, Ben, like, you went Samuel L. Jackson the first three times. You need to go like Samuel L. Jackson times two. So I was like, okay, time to go Samuel L. Jackson times two. And I let this guy have it. And he goes, excuse me, but who is this, after my 45-second soliloquy about how I don't like him very much? Didn't say that. And he goes, who is this? And I say, no, the better question is, who is this? And he goes, this is her father. Eyes big. And he says, don't you ever call this number again. Hang up. And right, as a seventh grader, you think I'm smart, I'd be done. They said, call her again. So I called her again, went to voicemail, left a voicemail this time. Thought that was the end. And the next day, going to school, think I got away with it. It's an unknown number. And you know, the intercom comes on at school, which is never a good thing. And they say, can we see Ben in the principal's office? So like, they just want to talk to me about the game last night. I go down there and there's three people in the office, the administrator of the school, the head soccer coach, and the principal. And they said, Ben, please sit down. We want you to listen to a voicemail. And they said, and listen to the voicemail, listen to how nasty that voicemail was. And they said, is this you? There's no denying it. And I said, yes. Now, why do I tell you this story this morning? I don't tell you this story so I can tell you that prank calling is bad, because it is. I did. That was a valuable lesson I learned. I'm not telling you this to tell you how much I got in trouble, because honestly, there's nothing that those people could have done to me that would have been deserving of the punishment, because the things that I said to her and the way that I made her feel was extraordinarily, it was terrible. And there's nothing that anybody could ever punish me with that could be deserving. But I tell you this story to tell you this, is that this girl was a junior in high school. 3 weeks later, she drops out of our school and goes to another school. I connect with her 5 years later. I'm about to graduate high school. Her brother was in my class. Crazy story. He ended up coming the last year. And she ended up telling me that the worst night of her life was the night that I called and I made those prank phone calls. Comes to find out as well that she never cheated on him. He cheated on her. And the only person that didn't know that was me. And me being a seventh grader, went to all of my friends and told all of my friends. All of my friends told all of their friends. And by the time the whole school thought, this girl isn't good. But really, it was the guy, it was the senior that was talking all this game. And I want to, and I tell that story to tell you this morning, is that the tongue, our tongue, the words that we say, this little piece of flesh in our mouth is extraordinarily powerful. I come to tell you guys this morning that we're starting a new series called Taming Tongues. And this series, it has to do with so many different people. It has to do with us, because it affects each and every one of us, because all of us talk, all of us have words. And those words can be very, very powerful. So if you guys have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3. We're going to be in the book of James, and we don't know the author really. We do believe that the author of James is James, the brother of Jesus, but we're not too sure. It could be a book where we don't really know who the author is, but we think it's James, and we're going to see what James is talking about here. And he's talking about the tongue. And the thing that we have to understand this morning is that things that were true 2,000 years ago when this Bible was written are true today, because the word of God will never return void. The word of God will always be true. So we're going to see 2,000 years ago what James, the brother of Jesus, had to say about our tongue. And so if you guys have your Bibles, flip there, scroll there on your phone. If you don't have either of those, it will be on the screen. We're going to be starting in verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. How many of you have ever been on a cruise in this room? So cruise ships, if you don't know what a cruise ship is, you're missing out, because think about everything that's awesome in this world, right? A cruise ship, it's like a hotel. It's like seven stories of just rooms and bathrooms. It's really cool, but that's not it. There's water parks. Some have two water parks, one for adults and one for kids. They have water slides. They have arcades. They have casinos. They have basketball courts. They have putt-putt golf. I mean, you think of something awesome, they're on these cruise ships. And so cruise ships are enormous, but what this is saying in verse 4 is that even though these ships are enormous, they're steered by something that is small, and that something small is called a rudder. And so with cruise ships, think about how big they are. 7 stories high, 70 feet high, some of them long as 5 or 6 football fields, and the size of the rudder is barely the size of a Prius. The size of a rudder is probably the size from the keyboard to me. And it's the same thing with horses, in that the horses are huge, but we put these things called bits in their mouth that are attached to reins. And so the bit goes to the edge of the mouth, and when you want to turn the horse right, you pull right, and the bit pulls against the horse's mouth and steers him right if you want to go right. It can stop if you want to stop. It can go left if you want to go left. So the bit is small, but it guides the horse. The rudder is small, but it guides the ship. The rudder is powerful. The bit is powerful. And the thing we have to learn this morning is our first point, is that our tongue, though it may be small, is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Our tongue is like the rudder and our tongue is like the bit. If I would think about the most powerful thing in my body, I loved playing soccer. I always thought that maybe the most incredible and the most powerful part of my body is like my legs. You know, you got really large muscles in your legs. Or maybe the most important part of your body is your organs or maybe your brain, right? The last thing I would think it would be this little piece of flesh in my mouth, my tongue. But what the book of James is saying is that your tongue, though it may be small, though you may think it's insignificant, it carries a ton of power. And so I don't want you guys to think I just shared a negative story. I shared a negative story about how I made a prank phone call and I literally ruined somebody's life, right? And it does carry power for bad. It does carry power for evil, but also it carries power for good too. Our tongue is, it can be powerful for good and our tongue can be powerful for evil. It can guide us in the direction of honor and glorifying God, or it can lead us in the direction of pushing ourselves farther and farther away from him. And you know, for me, I've always known, I learned in seventh grade that my tongue is very powerful to ruin my life. You know, there was a lot of consequences that I suffered because of my tongue, right? But I don't think we realize how powerful our tongue is in other people's lives too. Our tongue can point people back to Jesus and our tongue can point people away from him as well. So for those of you, you're gonna see that taming my tongue is a big part of my story. That moment in seventh grade was pivotal for a good thing because I was able to have conversations with my dad about respecting women and that this is not how women should be treated. But it was bad pivotally because I realized that cussing was fun and that cussing was funny. And so from that moment on, I just a downward spiral of cussing and sports became a huge part of my life. And almost every single game, I'd curse out other opponents. So one time I cursed out a referee and one time I even cursed out another coach. I mean, cursing was just part of my life. And then flash forward, I get to college, right? I'm at a secular university where there's not a lot of Christians around. I probably knew two or three Christians in the entire university in Tampa, Florida, University of South Florida, go Bulls. And so this university didn't have a ton of Christians. And one moment, another big pivotal moment in my life with my tongue is we're watching March Madness. I'm a huge sports fan and I'm a huge Gator fan too, along with Garrison. So go Gators too. And we're watching March Madness. And the Gators are playing in the Final Four. They're playing against UConn. And they just did not play well. And every single time the Gators made a mistake, I'd curse at the TV. And in this room, there's about 25, 30 different people. There's girls and there's guys. And every single time a mistake would happen, I'd be so into the game, I start cursing at the TV. And these girls come in late. It's in the fourth quarter. It's in the second half, towards the end of the game. And one girl goes, "Ben, is that you?" I turned around. I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And she goes, are you cursing? And I was like, "Are you deaf? Like, the people next door can hear me." And she looks at me and she'll say something that I'll never forget. She said, "I thought you were supposed to be a Christian." And when she said that, I got speechless. And for those of you that know me, it's hard to make me speechless. And I didn't really know what to say. And I looked around the room and I realized that I was the only person in the room that was professing to know Jesus. Everybody else were saying, "Hey, for sure I'm not a Christian," right? And I was the only one that was professing to know Jesus, but I was the one that had the worst mouth in the entire room. And so I didn't say anything. And she looks at her friend and she goes, "Typical." As if she was saying, "All Christians are fake." And you know what? I was trying to live a life that was honoring to the Lord, but my tongue was driving me in another direction. And as my tongue was driving me far away from Lord, he was driving other people along with me too. My tongue is powerful. And going on to verse 6 in the book in James 3, it says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Set on fire by hell. What in the world does that even mean? And we don't have to look far. We can look in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus is talking to his disciple and he's like, "Hey guys, Like I'm going to have to be abused. I'm going to have to be tortured by these Pharisees. I'm going to be killed by these religious leaders. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again." And Peter, God loved Peter. He looks at Jesus and he says, "Far be that from you, Lord. That's not going to happen to you." And you think, oh, he just stood up for Jesus. So Jesus is going to be like, "Yeah, Peter's got my back." No, Peter doesn't say that, or Jesus doesn't say that to Peter. He looks at Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me." What does he mean by that? And so if we're not using our tongue to honor and glorify God, then what are we using our tongue for? If we're not being honored, if we're not bringing God glory, then we're doing the opposite. Then Satan can use our tongue for him and for the kingdom that he is so trying to set up. So our tongue is powerful, not because of the consequences in people's life. People's eternity could be at stake. If I wasn't cursing, then what if these people look at me and say, Ben is being different? But instead of being different, I was going along with the world. Continuing on in verse 7 in James, it says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So we see that our first point is that our tongue is incredibly powerful. And our second point is that we can tame the most vicious animals, but we cannot tame our tongue. We can tame the most vicious and most powerful animals, but we cannot tame our tongue. So as I said, I'm from Florida. I'm born and raised in Tampa, Florida, which is about an hour away from Orlando. And if you've ever heard of Orlando, that's where Disney World is. That's where SeaWorld is. And so I was always a huge theme park guy. And my favorite theme park was probably SeaWorld. And is there SeaWorld in Texas? Yes, okay, I thought it was only Orlando, but probably not. All right, so in SeaWorld, my favorite thing to do as a kid was to ride the rides, but when I got older, when I started to be a camp counselor, I loved watching the animal shows. All right, and the main character at SeaWorld is a whale called Shamu. And so Shamu is an orca whale. An orca whale, another name for that is a killer whale. And the thing with the killer whale is that the killer whale is probably one of the most powerful, one of the most vicious creatures on the planet. We have a video right here to show you the power of this orca whale. That is a sea lion that orca whale has thrown 65 feet into the air. It's kind of funny too. That is an animal. If you guys don't know, a sea lion is the size of me. That orca whale just slung that thing 65 feet into the air. And that's not only it hit the water, it got stunned. It went under the water and it ate the sea lion. Orca whales are known for chasing after boats and crashing into boats. Like, these animals do not care. But at SeaWorld, there's a different story. This is what you see at SeaWorld. Killer whale. That is one of the most powerful animals on earth, but that animal was trained well enough to have that trainer be put into his mouth and launch her into the air, not like the sea lion, but he was trained to do something like that. So what James is talking about here is that we can tame killer whales, we can tame lions, we can tame elephants, things that we can't even talk to, we can't even communicate with, but we cannot tame our own mouth. We cannot tame this little piece of flesh that seems so insignificant. We cannot tame it. So we see that our tongue is incredibly powerful, but we also see that we cannot tame it. So what can we do? And that answer is found in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says this: the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Which leads us to our third point this morning. You can't tame the tongue, but you can inform your heart. You can't tame this little piece of flesh, but what you can do is that you can tame what goes into your heart, and we can inform our heart. So what is Luke chapter 6 trying to say? What it's trying to say is this, is that when you surround yourself with good, when you surround yourself with good people that say good things, that build people up, that are glorifying to God, when you surround yourself with those kind of people, then what's going to happen is that good is going to be poured into your heart, and eventually the good is going to keep pouring and pouring and pouring, and the good is going to overflow, and out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. So if our heart is overflowing good, then the good is going to come out of our mouth. But it's also the opposite. If we're surrounding ourselves with negative people, with people that aren't bringing glory to God, watching movies that aren't glorifying to God, listening to music, having conversations with our friends that isn't bringing glory to God, then eventually that evil is going to keep pouring and pouring and pouring into our heart, and then it's going to overflow and our mouth is going to speak it. Because out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. So going back to this prank phone call, I started to think when I was preparing for the sermon, like, what caused me to say the things that I said to this girl? What caused me to go into this downward spiral? And I remember when I was in seventh grade, this new kid came to our school. Man, he was cool. He's like the guy that everybody wanted to be friends with. And he became my best friend. And every single weekend, I'd go to this guy's house. I'd hang out with him. Right? And he had one of those cool moms. Right? A mom that I so wish I had, because she let us watch rated R movies. My parents didn't even have to ask my parents. My parents had no idea that I was watching it, thinking, no big deal, it's just a rated R movie. And so we started watching rated R movies, and we'd watch two or three a night because, man, I couldn't get enough of these movies. They're saying words that my parents wouldn't let me say. And so, but I was still a good kid. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to do it. And then my friend started watching these movies. He started to be influenced by them, and then he starts cursing. But I'm like, you know what? No. Like, I'm still a good kid. I'm still not going to curse. Not that big of a deal. And then he starts influencing my friends over here who I've had since I was in kindergarten. And then they start cursing. So now I have my best friend who's cursing. I have all my friends over here that I've known for 12 years that they're cursing. And then we start listening to Lil Wayne and we start listening to Wiz Khalifa. And I'm thinking, man, this is cool. Like, we're riding his mom's car and his mom's excursion and we're bumping to Lil Wayne. Like, this is the dream. Mom, I've made it. And eventually what happened is I surrounded myself with all that evil. I surrounded myself with things that weren't honoring and glorifying to God. And it started to overflow out of my heart. I surrounded myself with evil. I surrounded myself with things that didn't bring glory and praise to the one true God. And what happened is that it separated me from bringing glory to God. I thought I was beyond it. And it's not like I watched my first rated R movie and the next day I'm cursing people out. It took time. I was surrounded by it for a long time, and finally it influenced me enough. And then flash forward to when I was in college. I was at a Christian school, even though I put quotations around the Christian school. It was more of a sports school. We cared more about sports and people's relationship with the Lord. But at this Christian school, I would curse, and there was a couple Christians that would look at me and say, Ben, like, you probably shouldn't be saying stuff like this. They were trying to keep me accountable. And so there were some times where I'd curse, but hey, like, my friends around, so I'm not going to do it. But now I'm in college. I'm at a secular university. I don't have any friends that are Christians. I have no one that's going to say, hey, Ben, you probably shouldn't say this. I have the opposite. I have people that's encouraging me to cuss. I have people that's encouraging me to gossip. I have people that are encouraging me to complain. And so when I'm sitting down at the final four, like, there's nobody around to say, hey, Ben, you probably shouldn't say stuff like this. But the pivotal moment happened when that girl came in and she said, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. And it made me realize that, oh my goodness, like, yeah, there's nobody here to tell me to stop. But evil is overflowing out of my heart. And so here's the deal, guys. When we surround ourselves with good, then good gets poured into our heart and it overflows. And out of that overflow, our mouth speaks. And our tongue is powerful. Our tongue is powerful enough, like a ship's rudder, like a horse's bit, to guide us in life. And so when we're surrounding ourselves with good things and good people, then what's going to happen is that our tongue is going to be guiding us to honor and glorifying God. And then what's going to happen when we're honoring and glorifying our God and what we say, it's going to translate into what we do. And then what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be pointing people back to Jesus. And that all starts with surrounding ourselves with good. It's surrounding ourselves with things that's honoring to God. So this is my question for you this morning. What are you surrounding yourself with? What do your movies look like? What does your music sound like? Are they honoring and glorifying to God? And you know, there's some of you in this room like, Ben, like, I can watch rated R movies. I can listen to this music. I can hang around people all the time that cuss, because you know what? I'm not going to be that person. And I want to tell you from personal experience, and I want to tell you from the Bible, from Jesus' straight words in Luke chapter 6, good luck, because it's not going to happen. When you surround yourself with those things, eventually it's going to translate into you doing those things. So what are you surrounding yourself with? And you know, I don't know what we need to do. You know, I know Thomas, who's in the fellowship, he shared last night. he said that he had the same problem with music. So he took an extreme. He went to iTunes and he deleted every song that had a curse word in it. He loved rap. I loved rap. And he said, you know what? I can't be listening to this stuff anymore. Even though the beat sounds good, even though I love Lil Wayne, even though I love Drake, I'm going to have to delete this stuff because it's influencing me in a negative way. I had a friend when I was a senior in high school that he had all these rated R movies, and he came in with my soccer coach and threw DVDs against the wall and broke every single one of them because he said, my relationship with the Lord and my influence with the Lord is way more important than the joy that I find in these movies. And here's the deal. The last thing that I'm going to say is that God created our tongue. It says in Colossians 1:16 that all things were created through him and for him. And God created our tongue to have power so that we can bring him honor and so that we can bring him glory. And the thing that I realized is that even though I found joy, even though I found identity in cursing and things that I'm saying to other people, that didn't bring me life. It was shallow. It was something that didn't stand. And what started to bring me life, what started to bring me identity is when I started bringing honor and glory to God with the things that I was surrounding myself with the things that I was doing and the things I was watching and the things I was listening to. That is where life is. Life is not found in the material. Life is found when we're bringing honor and glory to him. So what are you surrounding yourself with? Find a small group leader. Find a friend. Write down things that you feel like, man, this isn't bringing honor and glory to God. And get rid of them. Because I promise you, life is not found in those things. Life is found in bringing honor and glory to God. So our tongue is powerful. We can't tame it, but we can tame what goes into our heart. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray for everybody in this room, especially myself, who can get so caught up in trying to be cool, who can get so caught up in trying to surround myself with the things that this world calls life. But God, I pray that we would find life in you, that we would find identity in you, and that we could just surround ourselves with things that bring honor and glory to you, and that we can tame what goes into our heart so that out of the overflow of that, our mouth can speak and our mouth and our tongue can guide us in bringing honor and glory to you. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with all these students, all these leaders, Lord, that they would just do that, that they would bring honor and glory to you in everything that they say, in everything that they listen to, in everything that they do. And Lord, if any student has any question, Lord, I pray that they would just find a leader and that they would do that. Lord, I pray you will strengthen us to make hard decisions and you would just guide us in the direction you want us to go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.